Good morning. It's great to see you all. I hope you've been enjoying the slides that we've been showing. We're really thrilled this morning. We seem to be able to, we're live on Zoom, of course, and we're also seem to be on Facebook Live. So welcome to you all to the second of our live stream services on from our own homes. The third one, of course, the first one we did from church, but this is the second from our homes. We're really, really thrilled to have you all here. Please say hello on the chat line. Say hello and tell us where you are. This is really different. And so we know that we're all trying something which perhaps we've never tried before. So show us where you are. We want people to feel especially welcome, because although we're at different places, then we're all together, really. I mean, I want to especially welcome people whose families perhaps don't coming to church together, but that today, because they're in their front rooms, they are together. To welcome new people, perhaps people have found us who wouldn't normally do that. I mean, it's really terrific to have you. We're really thrilled that you're part of what we're doing this morning. And I heard a rumor that there would even be some people from other parts of the world. And if you're in some different part of the world right now, please let us know. We're just so excited to be able to share this really different way of doing church with us. Find a way of engaging this week. This time we've got, we recognized last week that there were people who were by themselves, and so it was more difficult for them to engage. But what we've done is, when I put slides up for you to talk amongst yourselves, you'll find there's two conference call numbers. Now, if you ring those conference call numbers, you'll be able to join in the conversation on the telephone. We hope that will bless you, and we hope you'll really enjoy that. Yes, this is new. Engage with something new. Don't compare it with what church normally is like, but try experience something new. We're thrilled to be able to share this with you and to hear what you. I heard a couple of people say, it seems to be odd for us to talk when you're talking. Well, I don't care, because I can hear you. I can't see you either. So if you're in your pajamas, don't worry about it. So that's really great. I've got a couple of things that I want to just tell you about, some sort of announcements, but you will receive an email to make sure that if you miss some of the details of the announcements I'm going to give, of the different things I'm going to give, you'll be able to catch up with it from the email. First of all, our Easter event, we're excitedly preparing for an online service at Easter. And here's the email invitation. You would have got copies of this, of course, and you would have been able to hand it out. But you can do it. You can make it much more widespread now, because you can we've set up a Facebook page. So it's a Facebook invitation. So you can send it to as many people as you like, so that hopefully on Easter Sunday morning, we'll be really packed with people. The numbers of participants will be huge, and we'll be able to share something special with you on Easter morning. Now, also after this service, we recognize also that, there's a couple of times when we've seen one another online that, you know, it's so great to see one another's faces. And we can't see one another's faces for this part of the service. But afterwards, we've given you another Zoom link where you can, if you click that, we will be able to see each other's faces and talk to each other for a while. We'll be able to have, you know, if you're having lunch, that's fine. You know, we normally have lunch together, but you'll be able to do that. I saw one person really creatively this week. They had dinner with their friends, and they had a Zoom dinner, and they were all eating dinner in their own houses, but they Zoomed together so that they could talk with each other. We're going to be able to do something like that afterwards. So join us for our online fellowship afterwards. The ladies who quite often lunch are now ladies who Zoom. And every Saturday at 12 o'clock, they meet together. Mary will send out a link, and so you're able to talk to each other and relate to one another that way.
Hello.
This is really, growth groups are so important. I'm gonna mention them in our sermon today.
Yeah, it's sharing. So
we have a great opportunity to share growth groups together. You know, surprising though it may seem,
I don't know what's going on.
The
I don't know how these other people got on.
Because we can do growth groups by Zoom, it doesn't matter who you are.
Maybe.
It doesn't matter
who you
are. Where you are, you can still join the meeting. So this is a great opportunity to begin growth groups or to join a growth group when you haven't before, or even start a new one. So that's
happening. Why are people calling me?
Opportunity.
Hold on. Hello?
New food delivery services.
Hey.
Which is really good. We had the first time you saw some photographs on Zoom. Oh.
Is it gone now?
Photographs online, okay, sorry. You saw some pictures, of our first food delivery service. We're going to be doing it again. Contact Mitch if you'd like to be involved. You've got his email address and his email address up here. And on the email we send out afterwards, we'll actually include his phone number. We don't want to put that online. But we have our prayer meeting also by Zoom. And so you've got the details of that. You know how important prayer meetings are for us at New Life. And I've been really encouraged to hear that the attendance at prayer meeting by Zoom has really been quite high. So I trust that many of you will be able to join that. After this service at 1:30, we're going to have a kids hangout. If you want to know more about that, email Dejaneni. She'll let you know how to link up to that. If you're not in the fellowship time at 1:30, the kids will be having a hangout where kids will be able to connect with each other and to connect with their teachers. We're doing as much as we can to enable you to continue your connections. Now, another thing that we've created this week is an online contact card. If you happen to be part of our service for the first time, we'd love to know who you are, and we'd love to be able to share the other things that we do with you. So if you go online, you can find an online contact card, then you can fill that in and we'll be able to contact you, because we are excited about doing church in a different way, doing church, experiencing our time together in different ways. So all of these things, don't forget the conference call numbers if you're living by yourself and you want to join in too. And an email will come after this service giving you all of these different details so that you can continue to participate. So we can continue to be a church all through the week. Now, Lars and Desiree this week have prepared our worship. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to move into our worship time together. And I know they've prepared some really great songs for us. So don't be afraid to sing aloud where you are, because only the people in your room can hear you. So we can worship God together. Let's pray together first. Father, we thank you for the technology which enables us to be together, which enables us to share with one another in a completely different way than we've ever done it before. Lord, we pray that you will just speak to us. You will be present in each of our front rooms, just like you're present when we meet together in church, that you'll be present in our front rooms, that perhaps some of us will experience that presence for the first time in a real way. Lord, bless us as we pray together, as we worship together, for we ask it in your precious name. Amen.
You go before I know. heart can see to find your truth. Your mercy is the shade I'm living in. You restore my faith and hope again. And all I did was praise. And all I did was worship.
Now we have an opportunity to do just that, to stay still and to pray with one another. Prayer is so much part of the life of New Life, and we want to be able to pray together. So maybe you've never prayed together in your house, and maybe it's just going to be quiet, but it's an opportunity for us to come before our Heavenly Father and share the things that concern us, the things that concern us in the world, the the feelings that we have right now, when we can hold each other up in prayer. So we're going to have a few minutes to do that. And then once again, I'm going to put another slide up and we're going to be able to pray out loud together as I lead you. So let's read together. You'll see
share screen.
When we think of all this, we fall to our knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. We pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower us with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in our hearts as we trust in him. Our roots will grow down into God's love and keep us strong. And may we have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how deep, how long, how high, and how deep is his love. May we experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then We will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Let's worship together once more. Once again, we're going to share together with Lars and Desiree. I think Desiree is going to read Psalm 40 to us, and then we're going to sing together a wonderful song, No Longer Slaves, which is, it celebrates our freedom as we, which sometimes right now we feel like we are perhaps a little trapped, but we are no longer slaves because we're children of God, and we are able to relate to one another, even though we relate to each other at distance and technology enables us to do it at least some of the time. And we're able to share together. You know, if all of this had happened a few years ago, we wouldn't be able to do any of this, but by God's grace, we have discovered all of these amazing things that we can do. And even we can even worship together over Zoom. So it's such a joy to be able to do that. I love Psalm 40. And so I really look forward to hearing Desiree read it for us, because it's such a great psalm for us at this time in our lives when we just need so much to know that God is there for us. God hasn't stopped running the universe just because we have a coronavirus and we have to stay at home. God's not stopped running the universe, and he never will. And none of the things that have happened to us are a surprise to him. He knew that we would all be sitting in our front rooms today and sharing together in the most unusual way. So it's a privilege to be able to do that and to share God's word and to sing to him and to be able to create new ways of relating, which are so important. I trust that many of you are being able to engage on the chat line so that we're really part of this community together. We want to know how you are. We want to know where you are and how all of the challenges that we're going to be able to share afterwards. The challenges that we all have for this strange part of our this strange new circumstances that none of us could have imagined. I can see that there, it's just great for me to be able to see that there are some people on the chat line sharing with one another. I can't see it all because otherwise it would distract me entirely. But I'm glad to see that you're doing that.
Hold on.
Especially if this is the first time.
Okay. I hear you.
Julie, I don't
oh my God! I'm so sorry.
Can you hear them?
No, I can't.
Joey, can you unmute?
Okay. Yep.
Did you share with the thing? You didn't share computer sound.
Shit. Okay.
Share. I have to share something.
What? Of deliverance from my enemies.
Such a great song to encourage us, as so many of the things that are happening around us right now cause us to fear. And so we no longer need to be slaves to fear. Jesus says, fear not, so many times in the course of Scripture. And he does it because he knows that it's something that we do so readily. Fear rises in us so quickly, and yet we have no need to be slaves to fear, because we are indeed children of God. And so as we come to share together something from the Word of God, something from what he's teaching us, let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are present with each one of us. Once again, we thank you for this technology, and we thank you for all the hard work that's gone into, particularly for Julie and John, as they have worked so hard to make this technology work. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being able to be together. We thank you that you still are present. You still want to speak to us. You still love us just as much as you did before all of these strange things happened. So as we share together, Father, just speak to us clearly, encourage us, as you know that we need. For we ask it in your name. Amen. Well, this is the last of our discussions focused around the book Saturate by John van der Stelt. And as you, and the title of this week's message is really the one that is really the, is really the, it really sums up. Sorry, I'll just get the slide shot for you. Is really sums up what we've the objective of all of the messages that we've had is that we should achieve saturation. In other words, we should achieve what it would be like if I held up a sponge right now and there was water dripping out of it. That we should be saturated by Jesus. Now, none of us could have ever guessed the changes in circumstances which we would experience from the beginning of this series to the end of the series. None of us would have thought that we would be in our own homes and welcoming people to our church service who perhaps have never been before. Attending a church service in our front room, which we may probably have never done before, even if we did it last week. And so, but this week would normally be when, if you've not been to New Life before, this week would be when we end each series. What we do is we have a time when I summarize the series, and then we gather around tables in the fellowship hall to discuss that. Because it enables us to take what we've been learning and share together how God has been applying that into our lives. And we're still going to do that because if you were with us last week, you know, I gave you a couple of opportunities for you to for you to stop and to talk together about the things that we're talking about. We're going to do a little bit more of that this week because it would have been our table Sunday. Now, I know you normally hate it when I turn around to you and say, you can't sit at the table with your family members, but I can't do that today. You will be with your family members and probably only your family members. So you'll be able to talk with them. And don't forget, they know you better than anybody. So all of the things that we share together with our family members, let's really begin to engage with the things that God has been talking about. Has been challenging us with. Now the questions are big. I make no apology for that. I know that you won't be able to exhaust them in the time that you spend together. You'll probably have me calling you back before you, and you'll think, oh, "Well, we barely started." The idea that's I understand that. But I hope that you'll keep the questions and you'll keep making them subjects of conversation in and around your home. We're going to send them out to you on an email afterwards so that you don't have to take, you may take a photograph of the screen or whatever. But you'll be able to do that because I know that these questions are big. And we want to be able to share that with everybody. And we want to be able to make sure that you're able to continue asking these questions as time goes on. Now, and if you think to yourself, well, you know, I haven't heard the rest of the series, it doesn't really matter because what you're going to hear right now is a rapid reiteration of so many, reminder for us of so many of the things that we have discussed together as we've gone through this series. Of course, there is a theme verse for the series. There is something which has made us, which has underlined everything that we've talked about, and it's this verse from Habakkuk 2. "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And Van der Stelt, in his book, translates that for us. Every man, woman, and child in every place. Now, I know there are probably many of you who are not in Pacifica, but for those of us who live here, it's Pacifica. Wherever you are, that men, women, and children in every place should have a daily encounter with Jesus through words spoken and deeds done, through the way we live our lives, through just engaging with us, for just interacting with us. They will encounter Jesus. Now, they may not know they've encountered Jesus. And that's fine, because sooner or later, our ways of life will begin to prompt questions. And it is those questions that will enable us to say, well, this is because we know Jesus. Now, if people are going to, if the knowledge of the glory of God is going to flood the world, then somebody has to go. Romans chapter 10 tells us that how can they go unless someone tells them? And I believe that we as followers of Jesus are the people who have been given the responsibility to tell people about the love of God. Now remember, as we look through this process, the book takes us through a process, takes us through all sorts of questions that we need to ask ourselves. And you know, good questions are such a help in so many parts. When we ask ourselves good questions, but realize that within that process, that some teaching is there to encourage us, because when we ask the questions, we ask the big questions, and we ask the Lord, what do you want to say to us? He wants to encourage us and say, I just want you to know that you're on the right track, that you're doing what I called you to do, and I want you to understand that. So much teaching can come to encourage us as well as to challenge us. But we needed to understand, of course, that that if we want saturation to happen through us, it has first to happen to us. We can't drip Jesus, if you will, on all of the people around us if we haven't first been saturated with Jesus ourselves, just like the sponge I was talking about a couple of minutes ago. You know, if there's no water in the sponge, it isn't going to drip on anything. And if there's no Jesus in us, we're not going to drip on anybody around us. And so we began the whole process by learning to understand that we need to be saturated with Jesus. We need to understand the gospel. And we need to understand that church is not something, a place that we go to, or events that happen. It's who we are. That we are church on Monday, Tuesday, Friday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And yes, the events that we have and the gatherings that we have and the things that we do are important, but primarily the church is who we are. And therefore, should it be expressed in every part of our lives? And we need to understand who all of that personal gospel. Now, our first question challenges us to ask that question, to think about our life as a disciple maker, our life as people who drip Jesus on those around us, and challenges us. Van der Stelt is going to tell, he taught how we are able to be with Jesus, how we're able to be like Jesus. Because you see, all of those, when we engage with that sort of a relationship with Jesus, that we spend time with him, we learn to relate to one another like him, and then we do what he did. That's the process. That's how we will become all that he calls us to be. So question one, Van der Stelt talks about the young people that he ministered to, and he says this thing. He said all of them had become disciple makers. He looked at them and said all of them, in other words, they could tell their story of God's love for them through Jesus. All of them were growing in knowing, believing, and obeying the scripture. They prayed for people regularly and saw many friends come to follow and obey and depend themselves. I repeat, I know this is a big question, but how does this statement help you to understand what a disciple maker really is. Don't forget that the conference line question, the conference line numbers at the bottom if you're living by yourself and you'd like to join the conversation. So I'm going to give you a little less time than I did last week, but again, keep the questions, keep the discussion going later as time goes on. Okay, well, as I said, I'm sure that you haven't finished your discussion on that question, but we're going to move on because we need to look at the second part of what we learned as we understand our story. And we heard some wonderful stories of the way in which Jesus has impacted the lives of some members of our church family. We then asked the question, are we in or all in? Like, are we just Christians on Sunday, or are we Christians every day of the week, or are we Christians every hour, every moment? Are we? That's what dripping Jesus is all about. So, is that what our lives are like? And we looked at the sort of relational aspects of it, because being a Christian is all about relationships. And that's why it's such a struggle some of the times in our current culture, where isolation and independence is so valued. We're told that it's so good to be independent and to not need people. And yet the truth is we do need people. We need people desperately. And so if we're going to, and Jesus demonstrated that because he lived life with 12 disciples, three of them very close to him. He lived as it was with Peter, James, and John. It was life on life. They were intensely involved in each other's lives. It is Peter, James, and John that Jesus pours his heart out to in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so we need to ask ourselves, where are those relationships in our lives? Where are the places where in a sense you can say they're our friends who know the worst about us and love us just the same? Where are the people who we can pour our hearts out and not fear that they will be surprised or concerned or all of those things, other than to support us, to encourage? Those relationships take a long time to develop, but you have to start somewhere. So if you don't have those relationships, I urge you to look for one or two people who you can open yourself up to and who will open themselves up to you. that life, that you will then challenge one another to walk in your walk with Jesus. Ask yourselves awkward questions. I remember the group of men that really I met this, I experienced this for in the first time. We used to ask ourselves every Sunday, actually, what has God taught you last week? Not last month, not what has God taught you over the last week? And so it's a relatively easy question to ask if you're living your life with Jesus invading every element of your life. But if you're not, then you're challenged. Then secondly was life in community. Now, so much of what we've learned in this book is about the way that their groups functioned. Because all of the amazing things that happened when one of their groups did something. Groups like our growth groups. Now, I'm not trying to say that our groups will be like theirs, but I am saying that I believe that our growth groups are the focal backbone of how we will grow as Christians. Andy Stanley says that spiritual growth happens much more readily in circles than in rows. Now, that doesn't mean nothing happens in rows, but it means that once we take what we learn in rows and then we engage with it as a community, then we begin to learn and begin to say, well, how does this affect my life? I said it earlier, but I think that this is, strangely enough, this is a remarkable opportunity we have right now to join growth groups or start growth groups, because there's no saying, well, I can't get there, or because they meet by Zoom at the present moment. And if you've been wondering whether you should join a group or resisting joining a group or not sure whether you should join, try it. Now, at this time when we need community so badly, and so we're able to engage with one another, and those are then those become the context in which not only are the life on life relationships formed, but also the third part, which is life on mission, where we learn how together and apart we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ in our workplaces, in all of the different contexts in which we live, and we recognize that we are life on mission. So our groups are lives on mission. As we are individually in our workplaces, we're on mission. So all of those different relational contexts enable us as people who have been saturated with Jesus to drip Jesus. So our second question enables us to ask us to think about this a little bit more closely. Where are you experiencing each of these relational contexts as you follow Jesus? Now, you may not be experiencing them all at the moment, but you know, you perhaps you need to be reaching for them. Discuss what steps you might take to strengthen them for you. Once again, you have 3 minutes. Don't forget the conference calls so that you can join in the discussion. Well, it's time to move on. But once again, I urge you to really give serious consideration to joining groups. I know sometimes it takes a lot of courage and you feel uncertain and you perhaps feel like, will there be people I don't? You'll know people very quickly. And I want to encourage you to, regardless of how old you are, whether you're young, when we first started our growth group, we had two young adults. I know at least one of them is actually watching this right now. And when we had Hank and Isabel as part of our group, it was such a blessing to be able to hear their perspectives. We need the perspectives of people from all age groups if we are to grow as adults and as young people. We need to grow together as Christians, and we need the perspectives of everyone. So if you've been scared to join a group before, give it a shot, just like you're giving a shot now to experiencing church online. Now, the confidence that it comes to, that gives us to live these life in community and life on mission relationships comes from our identity, comes from who we know we are. That song said, I am a child of God. And our identity comes from, God gives us, creates in us an identity. And when he commissioned us, he said, I baptize you and go and make disciples of all and baptize them how? In the name of the Father, and they would become children. Then in the name of the Son, and we would be servants of the King. And the Holy Spirit, we would become sent out in order to teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you and to be sure I'm with you all the end of the age. Because Jesus baptized us, whereas we are baptized into those identities, we can be certain that he gave us that. And because we have that, we can have the confidence to behave like that, to behave as children of God and to invite people into a relationship with God. You see, I mean, there are so many, I know that people right now are discovering family life in ways that they may have neglected or they may have allowed to disappear for years. And suddenly families are discovering they actually like one another. And they actually, I saw a message from somebody who said, our children are coming into the front room without being bribed and without there being something to eat. They're just coming in to spend time with us. Families are discovering each other in ways that they never discovered before. Now, this is then becomes an opportunity for us to invite our friends to experience family as we're the family of God. And then as we understand what Jesus has done for us, we understand how he enabled us to become the family of God. And he becomes King of Kings and Lord of Lords in our lives. Then we are able to serve one another. I'm so thrilled that we have these opportunities to go and bring groceries to people who need it so badly right now. And on your list that comes to you, that you'll be reminded of the way to get involved with the grocery delivery service and helping PRC with their deliveries. All of those things and so many other, there are ways in which we can serve one another. I mean, I've had one of our church family has put two boxes of groceries on our back porch, front porch, during the last 2 weeks. Now, that's not because I'm 68 and therefore old and not allowed to go out, but they know how much Jesus has done for them, and they've wanted to do something to help one another. There are ways, even in these weird times, that we can serve one another. And Jesus came to be a servant. His word tells us that. And then lastly, the Holy Spirit sends us out as missionaries, sends us out with the power of the Holy Spirit, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, to share the gospel with other people by the way we live and by what we say. All of these come, breed in us confidence to be the people who God has called us to be. How do these work for you? So question number three, we are baptized into these identities, children, servants, missionaries. where are you living these identities in your day-to-day rhythms? Where is that, this become expressed in your lives? 3 minutes. So let's recognize once again, we're saturated with Jesus because we have a growing personal relationship with him. We have, this is part of every element of our life. We have life on life relationships. We have life in community relationships, and we go out and we share as missionaries, and we're children, and our confidence comes from the fact that God calls us his children and his servants, and we are missionaries empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, here comes the interesting part. You see, so many church programs, they invite you to add something to your already packed schedule. Well, saturate doesn't do that. These ideas that we're talking about now don't do that. What we say is this: because church is who you are, because walking with Jesus is an integral part of every part of your life, this should be reflected in what we call our daily rhythms, everyday rhythms, the things that happen to us over and over again because they're regular parts of our lives. We need to understand that the world, God created the world rhythmically. You know, if you read the beginning of the gospel, beginning of the book of Genesis, he says, you know, there was evening, there was morning, and it was the third day. And then God created, and there was evening, and there was morning, and there was the fourth day. So God created a rhythm into life. If you look at the way plants grow, everything is part of, there is a patient rhythm to every part, and there should be in our lives. And so how do we make our gospel intentionality, our walk with Jesus, our dripping over, dripping Jesus on people. How do we make that part of our everyday rhythms? We looked at a number of these rhythms. We looked at how we eat. And I, as I said to you a couple of minutes ago, I was so excited to see that really creative way somebody decided they were going to have a dinner with all of their friends, but they could have dinner at home and they all put themselves on Zoom and they had dinner together. How can we eat together? How can we celebrate together? Now, challenge that. All of these things are incredibly challenging right now because we, but they can be done. I saw somebody said that they had an amazing 80th birthday on Zoom. How they did it, I don't know. But somebody got creative. Somebody got began to think, how can we say what can we do rather than what can't we do? How do we recreate? Well, recreation. Again, you know, there are also, I've watched Maggie teach online and look at all these different things, these games that can be played, these people drawing together, people doing all sorts of things together, which they would never have thought of doing if these circumstances hadn't happened. And then, of course, there's listening. We talked about this last week. How do we learn to listen? Well, there's so much material online and wherever that we can listen and we can sit down and listen to our families. I told you that I can't remember before this happened, the last time I sat down with my two boys and Maggie and had dinner together, but we've done it every night this week. And we've listened to one another. We listen to the different things that we're doing, the things that we're struggling. And you know, when we listen to somebody, we say, you matter. And we learn one another's stories. I hope that you've learned one another some stories from one another over the course of just the first 2 weeks. This is, and I know, you know, this isn't going to get easier. It's going to get harder. And it will be more and more challenging for us to do the things that we know will bring life when we really don't want to, when we don't want to get up in the morning and we think, oh, well, I don't really need to. And after all, I don't have to go anywhere. But we can, and we can challenge one another to be creative, to send messages to one another, to call one another, to listen and to bless one another. I told you how we've been blessed by one couple, and you know, I've had messages which have blessed me, and I know I've been so encouraged to hear the way you've been blessing one another, because this is the way in which we together, even in these difficult and challenging circumstances, we can learn to be all that God calls us to be. So our last question is a challenging one. Are you a disciple maker? Well, Van der Stelt says, yes, we all are. How many times have we said together that people watch us? Well, people are always watching, learning, and listening, especially now. They can't see you physically, but they can hear what you say online. They can see what you post on Facebook. They can see what you Twitter, tweet or whatever. They're watching, they're learning, and they're listening. They're learning how we live. And here's I found this such a challenging quote when I saw it. We are discipling some towards someone or something. The question is who or what? Got 3 minutes. Well, that has taken us through the whole process of that comes straight from the pages of Scripture, how we are the children of God, how we are called to be disciple makers, how we are called to saturate, to fill the earth with the knowledge of the glory of God. That's the call that God has placed on yours and my life. Now, of course, we have really, really interesting circumstances right now. So I want to just finish by putting up the two questions I finished with last week's message with. How can we establish new rhythms and infuse them with gospel intentionality? What can we do in the context of how we are living now, of these interesting circumstances that we have no idea how long they're going to go on? But we can learn things, we can experience things, we can encourage one another, we can build relationships in new ways. How can we establish new rhythms and infuse them with, how can we make sure that a new rhythm emerges, not chaos, and infuse them with gospel intentionality? And then what do we plan to do or do differently when we return to normal? Are we going to just slip back into what we always did before, or are we going to do something different? I wrote a blog about that. Just the last blog I wrote was, I just want to look at the prevalence of now. Everything has to be instantaneous in my life and try and get that out. But, you know, share with one another the things that you want to try and do differently when things get back to normal, and find new ways and exciting ways. I hope you've tried something new. You've tried something maybe you haven't done before, and I hope you'll continue to do that. I hope you'll call David if you want to join a growth, or email David if you want to join a growth group. One of those things, something that's new that will enliven your walk with Jesus, that we might be part of saturation, of saturating the world. Now, our final song is a song that we've been learning this week. We put the words up on Facebook, and you heard Julie, you heard Desiree and Lars, sing it after the invitation to join us. So it's a new song. It points towards Easter. We're getting excited about Easter. It's a wonderful song that takes us right through the story of God and to the establishment of the church of God, the establishment of who we are because of the resurrection of Jesus. So let's sing together the song King of Kings.
In the darkness we were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, cradle in the dirt.
Praise the Son. Praise the Son.
that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored. And the church of Christ was born, and the Spirit lit the flame. Now the gospel truth of old shall not kneel and shall not fade.
Father, we thank you that we can proclaim with such confidence that we have been resurrected. We will be resurrected. We will be resurrected with you. That the Church of Christ was born and we have been privileged to be part of it. Father, we thank you that you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and you're also our friend. You're also You also promise to be with us always. Lord, it's just so amazing. As we look forward to celebrating Easter together in probably the most unusual way we've ever celebrated it, but we look forward to that because we know that that was the time when you gave your life that we might be saved, that you gave your life that eternity might be opened up to give us a hope and a future. Lord, we thank you for that. And we ask that you will continue to be with us as we continue to live in this strange world right now. And you will encourage us. You will enable us to support one another and bless one another. And that may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and in all the days to come. For we ask it in his precious and holy name. Amen. Well, we'll be here again next week, and I promise you, you won't have so many questions next week. In fact, maybe we'll try a sermon without any questions. But what we're also going to do is after next week, we're going to send you a questionnaire out to find what are the things that you really enjoy, what are the things that you'd prefer we didn't do, and so that we can continue. As long as we have to do church this way, as long as we're doing church this way, we can learn from you. So I'm really looking forward to celebrating Palm Sunday with you, and then Easter Sunday. And right now, when we close this down, we're going to open up our Facebook, our Zoom conference, so that we can all see one another's faces and enjoy some conversation with each other. So Maggie and I are going to go into the other room so that we can sit on the couch together. And I look forward to seeing you all then. So until a few minutes on the couch or until next week, may God bless you all. Bye.